today on Real Radio.
Just stating that love, I love you. Listen, God is love, says the Bible. But what does God do? Sit on the throne and say, I love you. No, he got up off the throne and did something about it. You can tell somebody you love them, but what are you doing about it? There's a big difference.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Stand Still and Hold On, continues in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with verses 13 through 17. The Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Thessalonian church to not only prepare them for Christ's return, but to encourage them to stand firm in the teachings that he had passed on to them. It is Paul's desire for the church to understand that God loves us with an everlasting love. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that it's only through God's loving kindness that we have salvation. He has chosen us as his own from the beginning. He knows every event, every trial, and every pressure we experience in life. When God sees us, he sees Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's not the past tense, by the way. It is now. I'm loving you now. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. He's drawing you. God loves you. All your life, you might have been pushing him away. And he's saying, why? I love you. God's love. An everlasting love. And then look at this. The second thing that we see under this point is not only that God loves them, is that he chose them. It says, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation. Man, that's enough verse right there. We don't need to come to another Bible study for the rest of our lives. That verse right there. Because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation. There's so much power right there. Listen, love's not enough. Just stating that love, I love you. Listen, God is love, says the Bible. But what does God do? Sit on the throne and say, I love you. No, he got up off the throne and did something about it. You can tell somebody you love them, but what are you doing about it? There's a big difference. That's why God gave us John 3:16. For God so loved, he didn't love the world, he so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. That is the universal love of God. He loves the entire world and all the people that have lived in it. He even loves his nature, his creation. But what's sad, people, is that the entire human race will not be saved. God gave man the choice. But how can I be sure? How can you be sure that God has chosen you? Well, first of all, it's based upon love. But it also says from the beginning, God chose you for salvation. People, God knew that you were going to be saved before you ever raised your hand or you made that decision. God knew before he ever created the Garden of Eden. He knew it. We need to realize this and we need to understand this. It's going to be hard in the few moments that we have left. But we're talking about the doctrine of election. It's a wonderful doctrine. I love it. It's taught in Romans and in Ephesians and many other portions of Scripture. Acts chapter 13, verse 48 is one place. Ephesians 1, Romans 8. The doctrine of election. And in 1 Peter 1, 2, it says elect. That's the picked out ones. Means those who have been chosen. According to the foreknowledge of God. That is the before knowing of God. God knows everything. God knows what you're going to have for lunch today. When you go to Mimi's, you're going to, what am I going to have? God already knows. God knows. God knows because he has foreknowledge. Well, what is that? I'll tell you what it is on human terms. The movie First Night, I've seen it more times than I can count. I can now, before Sean Connery opens his mouth, I can tell you what he's going to say. It's true. How do I know? If I sat down and my wife, everybody gets so upset with me. Okay, watch this movie, it's so great. Okay, watch what Sean Connery does next. He's going to, and I tell them, and she goes, will you be quiet? Quit telling them. I can't hold it in. I love the movie and I know it's coming, so I prophesy it out, right? How can I do that? I've seen it before. So has God. He has seen, listen, he knows the day you're going to die. He has seen every movement, every thought, every word you've ever spoken. It's already done with him. And that's the doctrine of election. It's based upon his foreknowledge. He knows exactly the decisions that you would have made and have made and shall make all your life. Based upon your own will, God in the end, seeing the end from the beginning from the end, when he saw the end, then he makes his divine election and he then does what is referred to in Romans chapter 9. Some vessels are prepared for honor and some are for dishonor. Why? Because God knew the course that you would take in advance. God chose those who would go to heaven. Man chooses those who do not go. That's man's responsibility. It's all based upon what God knows, not what you know. Listen to this. Jot this down. Very important stuff. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world. That was a long time ago. That we should be holy without blame before him. You are holy and blameless before God right now. That's what the Bible teaches. So act like it. Walk like it. In love, having predestinated us to the adoption as sons by Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, God selected you. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to the purpose of God. For whom he foreknew, he had previous knowledge of, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what's going on with you right now. That he might be the firstborn or the glorified one among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Those who called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. Paul says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For crying out loud, who can be against us if that's true? You have been justified by the power of God. Justified. Simple way to put it. Simple. Just if I'd never sinned. That's how God sees you today. Listen, I don't know about you, but we ought to just kind of freak out right now and get really Pentecostal here at Calvary Chapel. That's incredible. You and I are filled with our own failure, aren't we? Oh, I blew this. I did that. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, man. And when somebody, I don't know how you are, but when somebody comes and says, Jack, you're a jerk. You know what? I am. I agree with them. For once, someone has truly seen who I really am. That's how I feel. You're an idiot. Thank you. Thank you. I agree. I know me. Listen, God says, hey, I have loved you with an everlasting love. When I look at you, I see nothing but my son, Jesus Christ. You know, God rubs his eyes. You know, I don't see what, I hear what you're saying, but I don't see it. I just see my son all over your face. He loves you. My son died for you. Now, let's not talk like this anymore. Okay, fine with me. Do we believe that? It's what the Bible teaches us. Every event, every trial, every pressure of our life, God knows. How? Why? Because he's chosen us. I've told you this before. You're probably tired of hearing about it, but it's just so precious. Charles Spurgeon says, I'm so glad in the doctrine of election because God chose me before the foundations of the world were ever laid. I'm so glad he chose me then because he certainly wouldn't choose me now. God knew. The third thing under this admonition to believe in the truth is that God sanctified them. It says, through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Through sanctification by the Spirit. That word means set apart. God set us apart. He has sanctified us. People, there are two aspects to your Christianity. There's positional sanctification. You ought to jot it down. And then there is practical sanctification. You ought to jot that down. Positional sanctification is this. Found like in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. And I'll paraphrase it. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you confess that truth, you're saved. You're as saved as you'll ever be saved. You mean right now, today, at Calvary Chapel, on October 20th? Yeah. If you want to give your heart to Christ Jesus, and you believe and confess that God raised him from the dead, that he died on the cross for you, you'll be saved. On the spot, for all eternity. That is positional sanctification. If you are born again, you are never unborn again. It happens right then and there if you truly believe. Well, what is practical sanctification then, Jack? Well, it is this. It is a day by day growing, maturing in Christ Jesus that happens for the rest of our lives. It is now that new struggle you have in your life. Now that you've given your heart to Christ, have you noticed? Remember this? Those of us who've been saved for a while, remember you were just tooling along, living life, and everything was pretty fine because you and I were pretty corrupt. I mean, we dressed okay, we had nice cars, and we were doing all right, but we kind of slithered through life. And then I met Jesus Christ, and after I met him, I couldn't sin like that as well anymore. I tried. Oh, this is great. I have Jesus, and now I got this thing going on. So I'll just kind of put them two together. And now, man, I got fire insurance for eternity, and I got this on the side. This is cool. So then, you know, you try to pull it off, and it's like, wait, it's not working. I don't even like it anymore. I mean, I should like it. And right in the midst of everything, it's like, I don't know, this isn't right. You can't, when you're truly born again, you can't even sin good anymore. You're all messed up. What is happening? Practical sanctification. You are growing more and more in or like Christ. You begin to cuss less. Your temper diminishes. It will in time. When I used to get really mad, a siren would go off in my head. I could hear it like a siren screaming. I couldn't hear anything. And that's why I played football so well. All I have to do is get mad. And you know, it was just great for me, bad for them. And I never thought I'd ever have that delivered from my heart. God is going to take a whole lifetime to work on you. But Jack, I have this precious Russian translator, Lena. She said, I just don't have the faith that all of you have. Well, last June, she wasn't even born again yet. And now she's saved and she wants to raise the dead. Just stay in the Word. I'm in the Word. It's going to happen. It takes time. Well, how much time does it take? Your whole lifetime. It's so important we understand this, people. You are growing in grace. God's grace. And you are growing. That's practical sanctification, moment by moment, day by day. It's exactly what Paul told them in Acts 14:22. At Paul's crusade there at Antioch, he said that they strengthened the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying that it's through that they must through many tribulations. That's the process of sanctification. Enter the kingdom of God. God sanctified you, people. You're going to heaven. God says so. The truth is, look at verse 14. God called them. This is another thing under this point of believing the truth. God called them, to which he called you by our gospel. My life, the end of my life, is known to God. Every moment God knows and God loves me and God has sanctified and called me, God knows all about it. Again, Psalm 139 says, you formed my inward parts. You made my guts come together, my bowels, my system, my cardiology. You put it together, my biology. You covered me in my mother's womb with flesh. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unborn. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when yet there was none of them. God knew before you were even conceived. Isn't that neat? I'm grateful to God for that verse. Galatians 1:15 is a great example of this. Paul said, concerning his life being called, and you're called this morning. You look around, and maybe somebody's sleeping. They're probably not called. But you're sitting here listening. You're thinking. Maybe some of you for the first time are thinking, well, this kind of makes some sense. Guy talks a little too fast for me. But it's starting to make some sense. Listen, there's a chance of you being called by God. What does it mean? Paul says, Galatians 5:1, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, pulled me out of my mother's womb. He called me through his grace. God's calling you. God could be calling you right now. Call to God. God's calling to you. You know what God's phone number is? He has a phone number, you know. Jot it down. It's great. Jeremiah 33:3. Call Jeremiah 33:3. It says right there, call me and I'll answer you. Call me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know about. That's an invitation. Give me a call. Call on God. And then this one concerning the truth. God glorified them, verse 14, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly, the word obtain means the acquisition of something or to possess a possession. For the possessing of a possession of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, you, according to the Bible, can possess the glory of God. This is hard to believe. It's hard to hang on to. But we need to stand still right in the middle of it. Jesus said in John 17, 22, "And the glory which you gave me, Father, I have given it to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made complete in one, and that the whole world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." He's talking about his disciples, us. "Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." Jesus is going to share his glory with us. 1 John 3:20. The Bible says, "Beloved," that's us, "beloved brethren, now we are the children of God, and it does not yet or has not yet been revealed what we're going to look like or be like. But we know this, that when he is revealed," that is in his great epiphania, the appearing, "we shall be like him because we will see him as he is." Isn't that good news? I know you see yourself so incomplete, but according to Philippians 1:6 and Psalm 138, verse 8, when Jesus Christ appears, his work will be completed in your life. Your sanctification process will be done, and you will awake in the likeness of Christ. Never to be tempted by sin. Never to die. Forever life. When that glory is revealed from heaven, Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:4. Am I going too fast? I have to. Colossians 3:4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears," epiphania, "then we also will appear with him in glory." Oh, man. Awesome. Verse 15, the second point. An exhortation to guard the truth. We are called upon to guard the truth. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold on. Hold the traditions." This is not what grandma said or great-grandma said. This is not, "Well, you know, my parents have always done it. This is what we do." That's not the traditions he's talking about. He's talking about the Old Testament law, the first five books of the Bible. "Hang on to it, which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle." Verse 16 says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." The last two verses are obvious, and that's the exhortation to us to practice the truth that we know. We're to believe in the truth, verses 13 and 14. We are to guard the truth, verse 15. We are to practice the truth, verses 16 and 17. Just practice the truth. That's obvious. I want to say this, and I want to jump back to verse 15 and close up on verse 15. But in light of practicing the truth, simply this. The word "hold" here is the Greek word kreto, and it means to use all of your strength to keep your hands on and to lay hold of and to not let go. It means to hang on and not let go. And you know what? I thought about the meaning of this word so rich, to hang on and not let go, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I've ever seen this. I mean, what does that mean? I have to see the word acted out for me to get it. A couple months ago, we were out at the Colorado River with some of you guys, and we were water skiing, and there is this little guy by the name of Anthony. Maybe he's your son. I haven't connected the faces yet, but your son was with us. And Anthony, it was his time to ski. He had never skied before. So I had the flag. I was on the back of the Sea-Doo, and I yelled out to him, "Okay, whatever you do, don't let go of the rope. Just hang on." And he's, "Okay." So Rick goes, "Are you ready?" "Oh, we're ready." He looks ready. Just go. "Hit it." And he gets up. And we're all going, yeah, you can hear the cheers from the beach. Yes, yes, we're yelling. All right, now, remember, hang on, don't let go. Okay, and you look like a little human ball. Stand up straight. Okay, so he stands up straight. Perfect, good, we're gonna turn now. Okay, we're turning, yes, don't let go. Hold on, I got it. Okay, little guy, I don't know, I'm gonna guess it's like he's 10. Great. Well, he falls down. Anthony, let go! Let go of the rope! He wouldn't let go. There's this human torpedo behind us. Let go of the rope! He would not let go. The kid finally couldn't hang on anymore. He lets go, and there's water coming out of his ears and out of, and his nose, and he's got this big smile on his face. I skied! That's the word. Don't let go. Hang on. Don't let go. Oh, Jack, I feel like a human torpedo. Don't let go. There's water coming out of my ear. Don't let go. Why? Verse 15, guard the truth. You don't have to defend the truth, people. Truth does not need defense. I got a sword here. Sharpest sword in the world. You can talk about that sword all day long, but until you use it, it's worthless. Don't try to defend the truth. The truth doesn't need to be defended. Guard it means keep it pure. Keep it clean. Don't let things, false doctrine, creep in and defile the truth. Be in your Bible to discern false from truth so that you won't, like the church of Thessalonica, think they missed the rapture. Paul says there's those coming in our day. Right now, they're here, they're on TV, whose God is their belly, who preach that the gospel of Christ is a way to make money. Paul said that 2,000 years ago. Oh, God's really blessing us. We got money now. How do you know it's God? Oh, I'm a Christian. So what? How do you know it's God? Paul is warning this church in Thessalonica that the Antichrist is coming, who will destroy many through prosperity, Daniel chapters 11 and 12. Be careful. Awesome stuff. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for this church and for ourselves and for the going forth of these messages to the ears of the people that would hear. Lord, that you would take our hearts and cause us to be so knit, so strongly adhered to the truth that you love us, that you've called us, you've sanctified us, you've chosen us, you've glorified us. The truth is truth, needs no defense, it needs application, that we're to walk in the truth. And Father, I pray this morning, if there's someone in this church that does not yet know your incredible love, that have yet to personally receive you, then Lord, give them the boldness today after this service to go back to that prayer room and give their heart to you. May they make that decision. And Lord, cause us all to walk closer to you and to see your will accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called Stand Still and Hold On. Thank you so much for listening. Our hope is that you understand just how precious you are to the Lord and how much He really does love you. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Here's something that we'd love you to do. Go to YouTube and search for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. Search for that and then subscribe if you would. And every time Pastor Jack comes out with something new on YouTube, you'll get a notification, and you can head on over and see what's going on. Pastor Jack's got some great stuff on YouTube. If you like listening to him on the radio, you're going to like his videos too, I promise you that. Don't forget to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.